the number, please. 170. You have to be quick off the mark, you know. 170 in your hymn book. 170 in your hymn book. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. We'll sing verse 170, verse 1 and verse 3. Verses 1 and 3, along with the chorus, just remaining seated while we sing. 170 on the page 246 of your hymn book. Four thirty nine. For I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 4, 439, keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
one more favourite. Four hundred and fifty-four in your hymn book. The Master has come, and he calls us to follow the track of the footprints he leaves on the way. And far over the mountain and through the deep hollow, the path leads us on to the mansions of day. We'll sing just the first two verses. Verses 1 and 2, 454, lovely old hymn, reminding us of the life of the Christian, being a life of discipleship, following the Lord. 454, verses 1 and 2, remaining seated as we sing. The hymn number 41 for our opening hymn. 4-1, the hymn number 41 on the page 192. Come sing my soul and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by his blood, delivered thee from chains that bind, and brought thee to redemption crown. A great hymn of testimony, reminding us of what God has done for us in Christ. The hymn number 41 will stand this time as we sing. Sing the hymn through in its entirety. 41 standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
would just look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer, praying that the Lord will draw near and bless our hearts tonight around His Word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy that finds us here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. Father, we come to Thee in no merit of our own, but as we've been singing, Lord, we come to Thee upon redemption ground. How the hymn writer could say, no works of merit now I plead, but Jesus take for all my need, no righteousness in me is found, except upon redemption ground. And Father, we thank Thee that this is our testimony tonight as the people of God. We thank Thee for Calvary tonight. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying in our guilty room instead upon the cross for us, pouring out His life unto death, shedding His precious blood for the remission and for the pardon of all of our sins. We thank Thee, Father, for the perfect life that Christ lived for us, something that we ourselves could never do. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for that robe of spotless righteousness that has been imputed to us as the people of God. We thank Thee, Father, that we are accepted in the Beloved and that we can rejoice tonight as Thy people, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed Jehovah Zekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Father, we thank Thee that our sins, so many, have been forgiven, cast into the sea of Thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us any more. We thank Thee, Father, that because of Christ our Redeemer, that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. And Father, we thank Thee for the great hope that we have of that place of many mansions, where we shall one day be with Christ and see Christ, see Him as He is, in all His glory and all of His majesty and all of His power. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the riches of Thy grace, grace that is sufficient for every need, grace that saves, grace that keeps, grace that sustains day by day a long life's journey. And Father, we pray for the blessing of the Triune God of heaven to be our portion tonight, the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for the Comforter who abides with the people of God. And Father, we ask that Thou wilt pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us tonight, that Thou wilt bless our hearts afresh around Thy precious Word, open our hearts to hear what God the Lord would say, and help us, Lord, like one of old, to hide Thy Word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee, O God, we ask. Help us, Lord, to heed Thy Word, and help us, Lord, to conform more and more to the image of Christ day by day, that we might die more and more to self, to sin, to the allurements of this ungodly world, and that we might live unto righteousness, live more and more to the praise of the glory of Thy grace. Father, bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank Thee for the great weapon of all prayer. And Father, Thou said, ask of Me, and Thou said, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. We rejoice, O God, that Thou art a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God, and that there's nothing or no situation or circumstance too hard for the Lord. We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every family and household represented. And Lord, grant us each one to know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. And may we go home tonight revived, refreshed, and quickened, knowing of a truth, Lord, that it was good for us to be here, for here we met with Thee, our God and our Saviour. Remember any who cannot come tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. Grant, Lord, that Thy blessing, Lord, shall be their portion. For others who have suffered loss in recent times, do comfort their hearts, we pray. And for those who listen in tonight online, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they might be, we pray that Thou will bless them and speak to them and minister to their hearts and to their needs by the grace and power of God divine. We thank Thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna, for all the boys and girls that have gathered to hear Your Word. And Father, we pray, bless Thy Word to the children. Lord, remember the meeting tomorrow night in Lisbalaw, and Thursday night in Maguire's Bridge, and here again on Friday night.
We bring each of these meetings to Thee. May Thy blessing be upon them. Gather in the boys and girls and save them early and young in life, we pray. Again, we thank Thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day and Thy servant who brought Thy word. Bless that word. May it live on many days in the hearts of saved and unsaved alike. And do bless our brother and his labors for Thee with Let the Bible Speak ministry, we pray. And Lord, continue to bless and to use that ministry near and far to the extension of the kingdom of God. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, other prayer meetings such as this and gospel missions, ministry meetings on at this time, pour out Thy Spirit upon Thy church in these days. We thank that Thou hast promised that I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And Lord, the land is dry and barren spiritually. And Lord, we're looking to Thee, O God, for an awakening, a turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord. Let it begin, O God, in our midst this night. For we do pray and we do ask all these things in the Savior's name and for the Savior's glory. Amen. I'm going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. While you're looking it up, we welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who have gathered. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer this evening. Do please remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them, the open air ministry. On Friday morning at 7 a.m., it'd be a bit early. There'll be nobody there at 11 a.m. Remember that and pray for it. And then on the Lord's Day here, Lord's Day morning, 12 noon, Sunday school 11, and then the evening gospel service at 7. Remember the special Remembrance Night service. Pray for that. Make it known. Do take the wee invites and give them out to friends and family, especially those that maybe have served in the security forces. Invite them along. Our brother Jonathan Logan will be along to sing, and then there'll be supper for everyone on the Lord's Day evening. So do remember that, please. I've also been asked to announce just that the Vision magazine is available there. The Let the Bible Speak calendars for 2024 are also available. And then there's a new daily reading book produced by our mission board. It's really aimed at young people, but I certainly would commend it to older people as well. For the New Year's priced at £7, and you'll find good reading there written by various ministers in our church. And then also, I've been asked to mention the CD, the gospel CD by our brother, Mr. Sam Houston. There's still some copies of that left as well out on the table on the porch. That's really all by way of announcements. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I'm beginning to read at the verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 11. And may the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. Our little text of scripture we want to base our remarks around tonight just consists of five words that you find there in the middle of verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And they are the words, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Our text here this evening refers to the day of the Lord's return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. when he will come back again to this earth in power and in great glory. At the end of chapter 4, we see how Paul tells the Thessalonians that there will be a great resurrection whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." He also tells how the living saints will be united in heaven forever with those who have already died in Christ. Look at verse 17 there of the chapter. He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Again, you have that same thought in verse 10 of our Bible reading, where he says there, "Who of Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him," the saints living together with the Lord in glory. And following on from this in chapter 5, he then gives the Thessalonian believers further counsel regarding the return of Christ. It tells them how it will be sudden. Look at verse 2 of the chapter 5 there. He says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And that corresponds with Christ's own teaching in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, in the verse 44. And he says, "In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." He also then tells how the return of Christ will be a time of terror for the ungodly. And we see that from what he says in verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there will be the judgment of the ungodly. The Bible speaks to us about the great white throne judgment. And in the judgment of the ungodly will be judged for their sins, judged for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And on that day, there will be no escaping this judgment. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." And that means eternal punishment for the ungodly on the day of judgment when Christ returns. Eternal punishment in the flames of hell forevermore. But then in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter, Paul here reminds the Thessalonians that the Lord's return will also be a day of great comfort for the Lord's own redeemed people. And you see that from what he says in verses 4 and 5 of the chapter. He says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." And here he tells these believers that they are not the children of darkness, rather they are the children of light. And this is all because of God's redeeming grace in their life. And when Christ returns, there will be no darkness and hell for the believer. Rather, for such there is the everlasting light and the everlasting light of glory. And Paul emphasizes that great fact in verse number 9 of chapter 5, where he says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." There he's speaking to the believer. "He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." He talks here of obtaining salvation there by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking, yes, of the child of God being an everlasting light and an everlasting glory of heaven. Yes, he tells us here in this chapter that the return of Christ will be sudden. He tells us in this chapter the return of Christ will be sure. And for the unbeliever, yes, it will be a day of darkness, a day of terrible judgment. But for the believer, it will be a day of light, a day of gladness, a day of comfort. And my, it is in this light, it's in the light of this great end time event that Paul then instructs the Philippian believers, the Lord's people, to prepare for the day of the Lord. And not only was that instruction for the believers in Thessalonica in the day of the Apostle Paul, but that instruction to prepare for the coming of the Lord is for us all as God's people, as we await the sure and the certain return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find this preparation for the day of the Lord in verses 6 to 8, which is really our the further development of our text here tonight. In verses 6, 7, and 8, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." And tonight, in the time that is left, is this preparation for the day of the Lord that I want us to look at and to consider briefly this evening. Notice first of all here that in preparing for the day of the Lord, the believer is to be watchful. Look at how verse 6 there begins. It says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch." And that word "watch" there means to be awake. It means to be vigilant. It means to be alert. Yes, in light of our Lord's certain return, we as believers are to be watchful. Watchful against sin. Watchful against temptation. We're to live a holy life, a life that is separate from the ungodly ways of this evil world. Turning your Bible over to 2 Peter and to the chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look at what Peter says here to the believer regarding this preparation for the return of Christ. In verses 10 and 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Why, whenever a guest comes to our home, we make preparation. Whoever that guest is, we await their arrival, their arrival to our homes. Well, as we await the arrival of Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, we're to live godly lives, lives that honor the Lord, lives that glorify the Lord. John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Yes, the believer is to be watchful, waiting the return of Christ. Notice something else here in preparing for the Lord's return. The believer is to be sober. Again, you see that in verse 6 and in verse 8 of the chapter. It says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch." Notice the final words. "And be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober." That word "sober" there really means self-control. It means temperate. It means to be moderate in the things of this life, the things of this world. In other words, as Christians, we're not to be so entangled and intoxicated and controlled by the things of this world that we lose sight of the coming again of our Savior, that the day of the Lord comes upon us unawares. That's what Paul was getting at here when he says, "Let us be sober." We're not to be entangled and snared by the things of this world that we lose sight of the coming again of our Savior. The Lord warned his disciples of this very fact in Luke 21, verse 34, when he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares." Brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I as believers must never lose sight of the return of Christ. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's going on in the world around us, we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we're not to be so taken up with the things of this world that we will lose sight of that great day, the day of the Lord, We must always remember that the things of this world are temporal. They're fleeting, they're passing. Therefore, we as Christians were to live loose to the things of this world. Yes, and by living a sober life, we'll be helped in our Christian life. We'll be helped to live for the Lord and do all we can to serve the Lord and to spread the gospel so that others may come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That is how it was with the Apostle Paul. Turn back there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Notice how Paul lived. He lived and served the Lord in the light of the Lord's coming. For he says there in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "Knowing therefore that the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Thinking of the Lord's judgment, the judgment of the ungodly, and in light of that, he sought to persuade men to come to Christ. Remember what Agrippa said to Paul. He says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Again in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there he says, "Then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That was ever the continual burden of Paul as he thought of eternity, as he thought of the return of Christ, as he thought of the day of judgment. He ever sought to point others to the Lord and to win others to the Savior. Likewise, dear people of God, as we await the return of Christ our Savior, let us also do all we can to spread the gospel so that others too may be saved, so that others too may be ready for the coming of the Lord. Only what is done for Christ will last. Only what is done for Christ will stand for eternity. Oh, as we await the return of Christ, let us be like the hymn writer. He said, "Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care." Oh, as we await the return of Christ, as the return of Christ draws near, how it should encourage us and burden us all the more to serve the Lord, to witness for him, and to spread the gospel. Notice one final thought here. In preparing for the day of the Lord, the believer is to be properly attired. Properly attired. Look at what Paul says there in verse 8, in the middle of that verse. He says, "Let us who are of the day be sober." And then he mentions these words. He says, "Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." And as we await the return of Christ as believers, we're to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Also, as we await the return of Christ, we're to put on for a helmet the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith here means us living the life of faith. Yes, it means us obeying the Lord, obeying His word, and depending upon the Lord for everything. The Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." Paul could say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Putting on the breastplate of love here means our life being marked by love for the Lord, love for the people of God, love for the things of God, love for the souls of men, and our hearts been taken up with the love of God and Christ Jesus toward us as individual believers. The little book of Jude is written especially to Christians in light of the end times, in light of the coming of the Lord. And it says in verse 21 of that little book to the Christian, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." As we await the Lord's return, let us pray that our hearts would be full and overflowing with the love of God, that the love of God would be shed abroad within our hearts as the people of God. And then the hope of salvation means us keeping before us what God has done for us in Christ, what He is doing for us in Christ, and what He will yet do for us in Christ. Yes, through Christ, what has God done for us? Through Christ, He has pardoned all our sins. The Bible says of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, Through Christ, God has broken the fetters of sin, the chains of sin in our life. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's given us new life in Christ. And then through Christ, yes, God will one day bring us to heaven, that eternal home, that eternal hope, to be forever with Christ and to be forever like Christ. This is the ultimate end of our salvation. Turning your Bible over to 1 John and the chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. And look at what John says here in the opening verses of this third chapter of 1 John. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, when Christ returns," notice the words, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." What a hope we have as believers, when he shall appear, when the Lord will appear in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, and he comes back again the second time to this earth. John says we shall be like him. We'll be perfectly made like unto Christ. We shall see him as he is. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, as we await the return of Christ, Paul here in the passage before us tonight says we are to put on this helmet of salvation. In other words, this is what we are to keep before us as Christians in this world. That our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. That we have a new life in Christ. And that one day we will enter into eternal life with Christ. And be forever like Christ. Forevermore. Yes, this is the great climax of the hope of our salvation. Believer, as you go through life day by day, in the home, in the workplace, in God's work, and in circumstances that come our way in the providence of God day by day, let us ever, as Christians, be looking, the Bible says, for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, this is how you and I are to await the day of the Lord. We'll just turn again in our hymn book before we get down in prayer to hymn number 153. 153 in your hymn book, in the page 238. Our Lord is now rejected, by the world disowned, by many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. 153 will stand as we sing. Let us stand as we sing.
we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord, and to call upon the Lord's name. Pray for the services in the Lord's Day. Pray for the salvation of souls, the bringing in of new and young families from around the area. Let us pray to that end. Remember the Sunday school, the children's work, the youth fellowship, the online ministry, the door-to-door outreach, and the open-air ministry. Pray for that as well. And the sick and the elderly, do remember them in your prayers. And the bereaved, her sister, Mrs. Hester Little, has lost an uncle. Pray for her. And Mrs. McCrae, Margaret McCrae, has lost a sister-in-law as well. Remember that family in your prayers. And then I'm sure most of you are aware, our brother, Dr. Bill Woods, passed away this week to be with the Lord as Savior. So do remember that family circle, that they will know the Lord's comfort. And even through our brother's passing, that the Lord would speak on and bless his labours to the saving of souls. Remember our missionaries as well, at home and abroad. And then again, remember God's people, especially in Ukraine and also in the land of Israel, that the Lord's hand would be upon them for good at this time. Encourage as many as possible to pray also. Remember Jonathan Wilson as well, Eileen's son. He's been in hospital, had surgery over in Scotland. And do remember him in your prayers as well, that he know the Lord's healing. Maybe I'll ask our brother Stanley to lead us off in prayer. And then also maybe our brother Noel Foy. And then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us, please. Brother Stanley, and then Noel, and one after the other, as the Lord would lead. Thank you.